Hey everyone, this is Justin with a new episode of Pwned. Today we are talking about attracting and keeping our cybersecurity talent. As always, these episodes are sponsored by New Harbor Security. If you're interested in finding a security partner that actually gives it about your security posture of your organization, please visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. So today we're talking about attracting and keeping our cybersecurity talent. And the cybersecurity talent thing is actually getting pretty old. Everyone talks about it, but it's really the same conversation over and over again. We don't have the talent. We don't have the skill set. We can't keep our talent. But honestly, we're really not doing ourselves any favors. My feeling on the topic can best be summed up by a quote from the movie The Bourne Legacy of, "You were given a Ferrari and your people treated it like a lawnmower." I should stop there and I'll let you fill in the rest. But the truth of the matter is I just can't leave you to fill in the blanks. So let's start here. Cybersecurity has a branding and marketing problem. Too many people enter the cybersecurity field expecting to become the smartest one of all their friends. They expect to be the one in the hoodie sitting in the corner, watching the monitor like the Matrix with green characters rolling down the screen while crafting a wicked Python script that would make Guido Van Bossum jealous. And by the way, he was the guy that created Python. The real world of cybersecurity could not be further from this perception. While this perception does attract some talent, it does not appeal to the broader technical talent base. Sarah Cobble from Info Security Magazine recently wrote an article that cybersecurity isn't cool enough to attract new talent. I would recommend reading the article and we'll post the article link in the show notes. So step one, getting talent into your field requires that we market it correctly and we meet the expectations of the folks going into the cybersecurity field. Obviously, easier said than done, but it starts with us all doing our own part. What appeals to technical folks, and most of them that I know, is that they want to know what systems they'll be working with, what technical skills they'll learn, and that they'll be challenged, and how their role fits into the broader team. Unfortunately, I think most people fail at step number one. But let's just say you get step number one right. Now we need to develop that skill set. It seems that most universities are doing a decent job capitalizing on the cybersecurity trend. However, my experience, this does not adequately prepare a new graduate for being effective within the cybersecurity industry. It's a great starting point to get the basics addressed, but it's still found wanting to be a productive member of the workforce. And to give you an example, at New Harbor, we hire many new college graduates. In order to get them to be a contributing member of the team, we have to invest an additional $15,000 to $20,000 in training just to get our staff members to a speed where they can contribute. I don't fault higher educations. In fact, I thank them for giving our future staff members the foundational knowledge needed in order to receive and understand the additional training that we and others might give them. Yeah, you know, I think most cybersecurity professionals that I know don't actually have any certifications, right? Certifications are great because it shows an interest in trying to further yourself as a professional, but really it's not a measure of your capabilities, right? Like the only capability it really measures is your ability to pass a test. At the end of the day, if you're going to be effective at cyber, you really have to be able to, you know, apply what you've learned in a very tactical sense. There's a lot of ways that you can get and collect that knowledge. But most cases, this happens through people looking to basically self-learn and teach themselves through their own dedication and hard work. And there's a lot of ways that we've seen people do that. That can be done with either, you know, setting up your home labs. If you have a home lab, downloading a free version of cybersecurity software and trying to learn it on your own and kind of work through the challenging and, you know, difficult pieces of it. To learn the software, learn the techniques associated with the software. Other things that you can do is you can, if you're interested in things like, you know, web application penetration testing, you can go out to, you know, free locations like, you know, hackademics to learn basic, you know, web exploitation techniques. And there's a lot of free resources like hackademics out there on the internet for folks to take advantage of. I think with all of these things, it really starts with initiative, whereas saying, if you really have an interest and you really have a passion, this should be relatively easy to pick up and do because you love it and it's really of interest to you. If it's one of those things where, you know, it's a burden, and you see it as, you know, just another competing priority to something else that you want to do, then it's probably best not to waste your time. And it's probably best not to start because the cyber landscape is shifting so fast as your skill sets are going to be outdated pretty quickly. And if you're not passionate about it and you don't make it as part of your day-to-day activities and you don't make it part of your day-to-day routine, your skill sets are going to become dated pretty fast. There's also a silver lining in that the skill set refresh required in cybersecurity is pretty high. So what I mean by that is saying, if you're new to cybersecurity, our landscape is shifting so fast and so quickly. If you start today, it's realistic to think you will have the same skill set within a year that someone who's been in the industry for 10 years might have, right? Like skills over time deprecate and become less relevant. And the skills that are relevant today are being trained today. So it's realistic to think that you could level up to industry veterans on a very short time window. And I think the piece that would actually be missing from that is saying, once you have the foundational and fundamental knowledge of some of these tools, say like you've self-taught yourself in a specific attack technology or a specific blue team technology, the harder part is getting real world experience that you can really only get from working within industry, right? Or volunteering your time with various coalitions. But I think from an employer standpoint, I think what we're all really looking for is that you've done the hard work to get some of the basic blocking and tackling out of the way. And if you can demonstrate that to show that you have a passion, you have the right aptitude, and if you can show through an interview that you have the right attitude, most employers that I know would give you a job in cybersecurity in seconds. Okay, so let's flip this around a bit. Let's say you are someone who's desiring to get into the field of cybersecurity. What are some of the things that you can be doing on your side to do your part with little to no investment? Within our field, fortunately, there's a lot of free resources available to people looking to learn on their own time. So if you have your own home lab where you set up either a series of systems or servers, there's free software from major vendors that you can download for free, either on a trial basis or on a limited feature set basis that you can collect, install, and set up on your own. There's many different free websites that you can go to basically sharpen your cybersecurity talent. And that's everything from, you know, going to hackademics to learn web exploitation techniques. There's, you know, free documentation out there about how to harden servers or systems or operating systems. There's many free resources out there available to you to learn things like, you know, Python scripting. All of these things in total are foundational and fundamental building blocks to building and starting a career within cybersecurity. When we think about this from an employer's perspective, one of the main things that employers are going to be looking for, again, speaking from New Harbor standpoint, is that we're looking for people that have a passion for the field. They have the aptitude to learn the technology, and they have the right attitude to be a good human being to everybody else that already works here. So for us, the best demonstration of passion is that someone's willing to do this on their own time because it's fun, it's entertaining, and it's something that's of genuine interest to them. And from our standpoint, it's pretty easy to weed out individuals who have a passing interest in cybersecurity because it conflicts with other things that are more interesting and more fun to them. And they're unable to articulate what they're doing in their spare time to build out their cybersecurity skill set. The other thing that working on some of these skills in your own time, whether it's building your own lab or learning a new scripting language, is that it really demonstrates an aptitude to learn. Meaning, like, if you're able to teach these things to yourself in your own time, that speaks volumes to your aptitude to learn more in different technologies in a situation where someone is teaching you and helping you. And if you're able to teach yourself, then it's likely that you would respond just as well if, you know, an organization was to invest in you and give you training that was actually paid for and cost the organization money. And at the end of the day, most organizations want to know that the investment that they make in you as a cybersecurity professional is going to go to good use, and the money's not going to be wasted on someone who's not passionate or doesn't have the aptitude to learn or just isn't paying attention. Once you've identified someone with the right aptitude for the position, you can't put them in the corner and make them churn widgets. And what do I mean by that? Let me give you an example that I saw during my days in federal government. Federal agencies are so big that they just need bodies to do cyber tasks. They have people doing singular tasks day in, day out, resetting passwords, onboarding users, monitoring a single technology, and tracking silly things like rolling residential IP addresses for bot activity. And by the way, you should never do that unless you really like playing whack-a-mole. The issue is that this creates a narrow industry skill set where our industry professionals can only do one thing, and 5, 10, 20 years later, we still have a junior level skill set across our industry. In this case, the issue for all of us, year over year, raise by raise, we end up with a highly paid cybersecurity workforce that still have a junior level skill set, which anytime you have senior level pay and a junior level skill set is a dangerous combination. So if you're an employer that has a cybersecurity workforce, you have an obligation to train your cyber teams. And if you are an employee, you should be asking your employer to help you diversify your skill set. So step two is build and diversify the skill set of the staff to make your folks more well-rounded. And I realize this is easier said than done, but step one is actually trying. Lastly, keeping cybersecurity talent is hard. For some industries, it's harder than others, and it depends on the cyber position. Most cybersecurity professionals I know, they want to work with talented folks and be challenged in their position. Pay, benefits, work from home, or whatever benefit is important. But if people find themselves in a situation like the movie Idiocracy, then of course they're going to leave. And by the way, Idiocracy is the movie where the average guy, Luke Wilson, wakes up 500 years later to realize he's the smartest person on earth. While this ultimately includes working on step number two, this might also require leaders take a hard look in the mirror. If you are a leader and can't move the intellectual cyber needle, how are you going to expect to challenge your staff for their own benefit? If you find yourself hemorrhaging staff, you might not need to look any further than the security leadership. And next time someone mentions cybersecurity talent issues, ask them, if you don't have cybersecurity talent, what have you done to market and sell the cybersecurity talent as a viable career path? If you say you don't have the cyber skill set, what have you done to train your existing staff? And if you can't keep talent, have you surrounded them by other successful and smart professionals that can challenge them and make them better at their own respective craft? All right, this is Justin, and this is our episode on attracting and keeping cybersecurity talent. As always, if you're looking for a trusted security partner that actually gives a shit about your security posture and cares about your organization, visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. It's Justin, and I'm out.